That was precious. That was great. I think that's probably a part of his testimony because he sang it from his heart. And that meant a lot to me. And I had a chance this morning to talk a little bit about my testimony vocationally and where God had led me and how he had led me and some of the things he's allowed me to participate in. And that's been great. But what I didn't share, and I won't even now, but wish I could at some point, is to share with you my spiritual testimony and all that that God has done in my heart to restore my heart and to restore me. That would be my testimony, that how he has healed my heart. And indeed, he is here tonight, the searcher of all men's and women's heart, to see what's in you and to heal you. I don't know whether anybody here has had the privilege of holding a human heart in your hand like that. Well, I have. Must have been a large person. They say the human heart is about the size of that individual's fist. And I remember holding that human heart in my hand. Now, I was a teenager. Those were back in the days when I wanted to be a doctor. Never mind failing trigonometry. That sent me on another course, I guess. But the days I really wanted to be a doctor, we went to a local university. I didn't fail geometry, by the way, or trigonometry for that matter. But we get down to this university. We want to see if they have a cadaver that we could observe and we could participate in the study there. Well, they disappointed us and said, we can't do that, but we do have here in this dish several human organs. And one of those organs was of a human heart. And I asked, can I see how much that weighs? So I was fascinated by this, and I picked up that human heart and could feel the weight of it. And the chemicals that was preserving that heart in that state. And I can remember how the texture of that organ and that muscle and what it felt like. And it was an incredible experience for me. And I felt humbled, actually. I felt a little ill at ease that I've got a human heart here in my hand. It was a fascinating experience. Now, there is a little bit of the rest of that story. They say smell is a powerful indicator of memories. Every time I have a sense of formaldehyde in a hospital or something, I always remember that experience, interestingly enough. I remember our high school gang, we went to Wendy's after that. And I remember as I ate my sandwich, I could smell this sense. I could detect formaldehyde somewhere with every bite. And then it dawned on me that I hadn't been able to wash my hands since I had, just for the end of the story, just to make sure you're listening, I hadn't been able to wash my hands. The heart is what I want to talk a little bit about tonight. Our songs are filled with this concept of the heart. We sing about the heart. We talk about the heart. It has become such a part of our vocabulary. We can use the heart for almost to convey anything or to say anything. For instance, do we imagine that a broken heart is actually literally, oh my, it shattered into a million pieces? Or if a person were to lose heart, that you would wonder where you put it. No, we know that there is this physical organ that keeps us going, that delivers blood and oxygen throughout all of the parts of our body, this heart. But there's something deeper that we use the heart for. And it's more of that center of the person, the center of your soul, the center of who you are, this heart. And when I say broken heart, you know it doesn't mean something on the floor. You know it means I'm shattered internally. You know what that means. Or if you lose heart, I mean, seconds to go, the coach is counting on you. The whole team is, in fact. And you cave. You lose heart. You throw in the towel. We all know what that means. Passage I want to read is from Hebrews chapter 3. I'd like to begin with verse 7. The Hebrew writer here, speaking to real people, Judaizers who have converted to Christianity, whose hearts are in trouble. And here's what he says. Verse 7. He's reminding them of something in Israel's past. Therefore, just as the Holy Spirit says, here's the quote. Today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as when they provoked me. As in the day of trial in the wilderness, where your fathers tried me by testing me and saw my works for 40 years. Therefore, I was angry with this generation and said, they always go astray in their heart, and they did not know my ways. As I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Verse 12. Take care, brethren, lest there should be in any one of you an evil, unbelieving heart in falling away from the living God. It has been my experience that young people particularly are vulnerable to this hardening of the heart. They're often the most believing, the most innocent. And for the youth, it is very easy at an early age for their hearts to become hardened to God, to love, to truth. And it is those young people typically that grow up. It's those that have been shattered or hurt at an early age who grow up to be hard-hearted adults, obstinate adults. All the youth, I think it's true, are particularly vulnerable to this issue of the heart that this writer is talking about. A heart that becomes hardened. A heart that becomes closed off. So it is a little bit, I feel a little vulnerable to try to speak about heart issues, because I know if I approach the issues of the heart intellectually, the youth won't believe me. That's what I know. And I know if I become too vulnerable and speak a little too much out of my heart up here, I know I run the risk of the adults being uncomfortable and shutting me completely off. So I feel a little bit like on a high wire here. And I don't want to make a misstep tonight. And I give my heart to Him, and I know your hearts are His as well. So let's, with open hearts, let's out of our hearts hear, receive. Let's out of our hearts know, wow, that's a little bit too vulnerable. But we're not going to shut Him off. But I ask the young people, out of your hearts, to hear what I have to say as a fellow journeyman on this journey toward this testimony of hearts restored. Youth, particularly vulnerable. I remember a time in my life. It was probably my first girlfriend. We went to church together. We were at vacation Bible school together. We somehow clicked, and we thought this will be a good idea that we become boyfriend and girlfriend. Now, basically what that meant in our day was I would be responsible to buy 25-cent candy sticks for her, and she would be able to wear a leather bracelet with my name over the top of it that I got at the local circus that came to town. That's basically at that age what we were thinking. But at that age, we were as serious as kids could be. Me, a little more intense than she, to be honest with you. I remember asking for one of my birthdays, in fact, at that young age, for a toaster. The toaster was to be placed in our, I guess, my hope chest, for lack of a better word. I wanted to put that toaster because it was in my mind, I'm going to marry that girl. That we're going to be married. As life happened, she broke up with me. And I could feel this pain. It was even worse that she started going with my best friend. It was worse. But then some things, they broke up. Some things started to happen in her life. Her life began to go downhill very quickly. Now I'm talking a span of 3 to 5 years. Now we're teenagers. Now we're in high school. And she had just begun to decline in her spiritual walk. And things got so bad that she tried to take her own life. She was not successful, thank God. But as she came out of that depression, as she came out of that unhappy state, I felt so much pity for her. And I felt, I couldn't really figure out. I thought I liked her even more. I wanted to help her. You can see the slippery slope I was on. Well, to make a long story short, she came back to our church. I became interested again and decided we're older now. I'm gonna try to be her boyfriend again. So what did we do? But at a yard sale, I saw a necklace, a 25-cent bag, and thought, I'm going to get her that necklace. It's in my budget. I think I can make it. And I present this necklace to her at church. And I just said, I would like for us to be boyfriend and girlfriend again. And she said, I'll call you later. So I go home. I'm sitting by the phone. I'm waiting. The phone rings. I answer it. It's this young girl. And she says, I've decided I don't want to be your girlfriend. Now, as intense as I was, as the person I was, others wouldn't do this or react this way necessarily. But I can remember there in our home with me whispering in the telephone so Mom and Dad couldn't hear what was going on. And even though it was dark, if you could have seen me, you would have seen the way I react to those things. Weirdly, I suppose, a half smile come across my face. A cold resignation I felt inside of me. And something, I can only explain it like this. I'm trying to say something. I can only explain it like this. Something clicked in my spirit. Something clicked in my soul. And I remember what I said. I remember how I felt. I entered into a sacred covenant there and then. I will not let a girl get that close to hurting me again. I entered into that vow. It was really a curse. But young people are especially vulnerable, I think, to this click in the heart. An abusive parent, an overexerted parent, a parent on the edge, a quick word, a pierced heart, click, a shutdown. I think that's what's happening here. And that's the danger of what he's warning these Hebrew converts of. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart as they did in the provocation. How do you know when you're hardening your heart? How do you know if you have a hard heart? I think you know when you turn it off. When you turn your heart off, that is the clearest indication you're in trouble. That is the clearest indication that you've got problems. When you cut yourself off from life-giving grace and relationships, that turns your heart off. The ancients' problems was the modern issue. They provoked him. And how they provoked him? They provoked him in the wilderness to the point where he wanted to annihilate them. He didn't want any more to do with them. He couldn't deal with their rebellion, with their sinfulness. Their hearts became hard. Today, if you hear his voice, don't harden your hearts just like they did in the provocation. Basically, we feel we can manage on our own. I don't need you, young lady. Click. I will cut my heart off. I will turn it off. Now, children, kids do this innocently enough. It's a protection mechanism. It seems sensible. But what a child does and what a child fixes often becomes very difficult to break out of. When you cut yourself off from grace, the grace of others, the grace of their embrace the grace of their love, the grace of their words. You turn your heart off and it becomes hard. And it's not able to receive the love and life so necessary for its proper functioning. Basically, the people in the provocation were mad. They got mad. They got angry. And they said, "Bring us out here to die? Is that your plan for us?" No. No, we want to go back to Egypt. We want to get out from under your control. We want to go back to what is familiar, what is known. They were teed off. They were upset. And when you get angry, and when they got angry, it usually manifests itself in a couple of ways. Complain. You know who's got an axe to grind. You know who's unhappy. They're complaining. They're belly aching. They're nitpicking. They should be picnicking, but they're nitpicking. You know the type. When do you harden your heart? When you turn it off to grace. When you turn it off to others. I won't let you get that close again. And I'm saying, don't harden your heart. Don't get hard-hearted. Don't be hard to the grace He's trying to shovel your way. Anger can often be explosive. Anger can take on many forms. Anger, by the way, is a very healthy emotion. The Scriptures have some guidelines for us in our anger. But I tell you, anger is a healthy emotion. God does not condemn you for the way you feel. Feelings are immoral. Now, what you do with those feelings, however, is another circumstance. He will have a lot to say with how you act and behave out of your heart and how you feel. You could be mad at God for allowing you to be born. You could be mad at your parents for bringing you into the world. Basically, a person who shuts their heart off, that person who cuts themselves off from life-giving grace and relationships, cannot be suited, they cannot be satisfied, and what's tough to take, you can't be soothed. That which your heart needs the most. You've cut yourself off from that life, from that blood, from that relationship, from that grace that He so desires to flood into you. How do you know when your heart is becoming hard? As you shut it off, watch your relationships and watch the grace. Let's go back to Egypt, they said. That's verse 8. Verse 10. Therefore I was angry with this generation and said, they always go astray in their heart, and they did not know my ways. We tend to stray, don't we? In straying from His way, we get a very clear picture of what sin is. Now sin comes into the picture. The behavior, the overt acts comes into the picture. When we wander, when we take responsibility and turn from another direction than the one He has charted for us, than the one He desires for our lives. And when we say, thanks, but no thanks, I'm upset with you, by the way. I'm angry with you. I'm angry with my life. And out of that anger, I act. I'm going to turn. And I turn and go an opposite direction, or I go my way. Your way, our way, that's sin. That's sin. And there's something you may not have heard about sin. There's some principles of sin. It has composition. It acts in a certain way. Sin ossifies. Sin hardens. That's what sin does to your heart. It hardens your heart. It takes your will and it breaks it like a dry twig across your knee. Sin takes your affection, your emotion, that love in you. It twists it. It perverts it. Sin creates an orientation in you that is totally curved in upon itself. How do you know if you have a hard heart? You turn it off. How do you know if you have a hard heart? You turn it loose. Hearts were not made to wander. Our hearts were made for our Father in heaven, to love Him and to know Him. Your heart, oh Adam, his heart was made for God, but his heart was made too for Eve, meaningful relationships through which he could receive grace. But when you turn your heart loose to wonder, it begins to ossify. If that word doesn't work, it has, and this is a new word to me, try it on for size. I'm trying to communicate. It's concretus. It's like concrete. Concrete. Yeah, back the truck up. We're going to do this pour. How many yards you got on there? 9? Oh, I think we can handle it. Here it comes. You can push that stuff around. Now you have to have something up here. But you can push that around. You can move that concrete just wherever you want it to be. You can throw those vibrating things into it and shake it right down. That thing will compact. And then something starts to happen. You can take that big bull float like they probably did in here. Float that thing off. Or a big long 2x4. Straighten that thing. Put that concrete wherever you want it. And try to get rid of it. Try to move it. The nature of concrete, once that moisture leaves, once the moisture gets out, it cures. It sets. It becomes fixed. And he says, if you can hear God's voice, don't have a hard heart. Don't let your heart become hard. And sin causes our hearts to be fixed. And it's like you set the rudder of your life, the will of your life, in concrete. And you wonder why you're going around in circles. You're wondering why you're 40 years in the wilderness. You're wondering why you're not where you're supposed to be and it's taking you forever to get there. It is because of that hard heart. It's because of sin. It's because I will have my own way. I will disable, cripple my will. I will fix my will. And then we know what happens. When others' orientation goes, there's only you and you are the king, and what can your kingdom produce except pain and destruction for yourself and everyone around you? That's what will happen when your other's orientation becomes self-centered. It's narcissism, self-absorption. I am king, hear me roar. What happens when affection goes? Then anything, my young friends, can be used for gratification. What happens when true affection, a person for God, a man for a woman, what happens when affection gets all messed up? Then you can have what seems to be a very serious debate in our nation over the sanctity of marriage. And there seems to be, in the highest offices of our land, a real debate on if a marriage can be between two men or between two women. You see, these things have consequences. The heart, it matters. And he knew it, and he's saying there are consequences. When affection goes, there's perversion. When volition goes, what do you have? Addiction. When you can no longer choose for yourself, when volition goes and your heart becomes hard and you can't choose, here's what happens. You wander and become stuck in unbreakable patterns. And there they are for 40 years. They're miles away from the promised land. It's not that far. It shouldn't be that hard. But because of their sin and their desire to have their own way, they wander. They go astray in their heart, and something happens. That heart ossifies, becomes like concrete. It's turned off. It's turned loose. And what will a turned loose, hardened heart, what kind of destruction will that wreak in you and in society, in our world, in your families? If you hear His voice today, harden not your heart. Don't turn it off. Don't turn it loose. And lastly, you can turn it over. Verse 12. Take care, brethren, lest there should be in any one of you an evil, unbelieving heart in falling away from the living God. So there they go, into the promised land. Let's send 12 spies. They go in. They look around. They come back. And 10 say, "You're out of your mind. There's no way we can go in there. There's no way we can overtake that land, those giants." Joshua and Caleb, they come back and said, "No, I believe we can. I have a believing heart." You can turn your heart over to unbelief. You can turn your heart over to no faith. Now, this is something very important to me. It's important to God, but I see it day in and day out every time every class that we teach, every new student body that comes in, we see this same phenomena, this same pattern. And that is, we live in a society that has removed faith as a legitimate way of knowing. Give me the Petri dish. Give me that. Let me see what I observe scientifically. Yeah, that's okay. That's objective reality. I can believe it. But what happens is, we have a long history, and biblically, to think Christianly in this world, faith is a legitimate way of knowing. You can know through the eyes of faith, through belief. Faith is the evidence of things hoped for. We believe that through faith gives that heart, the believing heart, that's the blood of a believing, beating heart, is belief, is your faith. And if you don't have faith, if all you need is what you see, can you live with that? You must know there is a heart world. I can hold that person's hand in my heart, that physical reality. But you know, and I know, that there is a deeper reality in the heart. Harden not your heart. When belief is mocked and faith is neutered, your heart becomes hard. When you can't believe and have hope for the future, or believe in Jesus Christ to save you from all sin, if you can't even believe there really is a Father who created you in love, if you can't believe that He has sent His Son to rescue you, to redeem your heart from the pit, if you can't believe, then there's only hardness left. Becomes the only final, last option. Only belief can keep the heart pliable, beating, pumping. Only belief can break down the hardened, ossified, concrete-like nature of men and women who have chosen another way other than His. Now, final illustration. My father, may he rest in peace. I wish so much that my heart could have received all that I'm trying to tell you before he passed away. But it's okay. It's all right. I'm sharing this story, personal, as vulnerable as it may be. Not for me, I can assure you. But for you, for your heart. God's going after your heart tonight. He has mine. All that I know it to be, He has it. I experienced something very early in my life. It was a tough blow. My father was parents very young when they had kids. My mother was 16. My dad was 19. By the time he was 21, he had 3 kids. We were working on the car. He was a mechanic by trade. We were working on the car, so this was a big deal. He said, "Chuck, go get a 9/16 wrench." Well, I know what that is. See, I've seen the 9/16 wrench before. So I went running into the garage and looked through all of this chaos, all these tomes, and I start fumbling through them. I couldn't for the life of me. I couldn't find that wrench. So I grabbed a handful of wrenches. And I grabbed a crescent wrench because I thought that always works. So I went running out to where he was under that car. And he was pretty perturbed. And he said, "These aren't 9/16ths. I asked you for a 9/16ths. Now go get it." I ran back to try to get that 9/16ths wrench. And didn't have any success. Finally, I go back up there in defeat. Dad, so frustrated, bruised and hurting in his own right. He climbed out from underneath the vehicle. And in his anger, he delivered this index finger just a few feet from me. And he said, "Why don't you get back in the house and play with your doll babies?" Now, I don't say that to denigrate him at all. No, I love him. I wish, like I said, I wish I could have had a long chat with him after God brought some things into my life that I wasn't expecting. But let me just say this. It's for you. It's for Jesus. I can't tell you what broke in me that day. I can't tell you, frozen in that moment, I was for years. And I made another vow. I vowed so young. I had no business making such a vow that would impact my life so deeply. I made a vow that I would not let my father be my father from that moment on. That I wouldn't allow him to get that close to hurt this heart of mine. The trajectory of my life, I wonder what it'd have been if I had broken that vow. There are some vows you just need to break. You need to trust the Lord to help you break it. But in that moment, I felt it again. Only a very few times I've been so impacted in my life, but I felt all systems boom. Shut down. And I shut off my heart to my dad. I turned loose my heart to other things that could meet that need of a father. I turned over my will. I turned over my heart to all that I knew God was showing me. Now, I was still a Christian. I was still following. I couldn't navigate these waters. But I want to say something tonight. Today, if you hear His voice, don't harden your heart, because life is too short. God's grace is too capable. His blood, His love, His life is too powerful for you to keep those walls up. For you to fulfill those vows that you take to protect yourself Oh, I wish I could tell you the myriad ways that God has restored this heart of mine. I wish I could tell you, but probably nothing works as well as His whisper, His voice. His voice coming to your heart like it's come to mine, like it's come to all of us, doubtless, who are here to heal us, to get the blood pumping again, to give us the faith to believe people are broken, they're bruised. Forgive them. There's grace to forgive. I want a heart for God, from God. I want to love the Lord with all of my heart, all of my soul, and all of my strength. And I know you do too. I just can't help but wonder, as I look out over you, I know it's been a little different, but I can't help but wonder, If you had a chance to hold this thing I've been talking about tonight in your hands, if you had a chance to hold your heart in your hands and feel its texture and know it and see it, I wonder, would you see a heart that is wandering away? A heart that still loves sin and still loves its own way. I wonder if you would see a heart well protected with all your childish vows, curses, more like it. Would you see a heart that is protected? It's untouched. No one can get to you. No one can get in to your affections. Nothing can change your will. Your orientation is firmly fixed. Would it be untouched? I wonder if you could hold your heart in your hand, would it be unsoothed, uncared for, a cold, hard thing? We're going to have a chance to pray. I think we want to open this hospital, if you will. This spiritual cardiac care center, where you don't deny your pain. You don't deny, I'm fine, all is well. No, you don't deny, but you see a Father and a Son. You see a salvation. You see a Savior. You see a brother who can take your heart and create a new one. Can create a heart of flesh, a heart of love, a heart that is not divided, a heart for God and God alone, a heart that's courageous and strong, a heart that is beating, a heart that is pumping, a heart that's alive. That heart, we'll give you an opportunity to come and pray. If your heart is sick, if your heart is heavy, if your heart is locked up, if you need, only He can restore your heart and create a new one in you. If you need Him to deal with your fixed will, addictions in your life, if you need Him to touch your heart tonight, He's here to do it.